Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is a daf Mem Aleph. And let's see. Yeah, we got up to, it's a little woozy yesterday. We are in the middle of the sugya as to whether an Adam can be Oser Davar She'ena Shelo. And the question is, can he answer something that doesn't belong to him with a maisa? And if he can, with what level maisa? With a maisa rabba, or with even a small maisa, maisa kolduhu? That was the three shitas that we had, according to what we think so far, is that our three amorayim hold, no way can you answer somebody else's things. Ula holds, at least the way Rav Huna understood it, that even a maisa zuta would be enough to aser someone other's things. And as Rav Papa pointed out, there's nothing that forces us to make that conclusion. It's possible that only a maisa rabba, a complete shchita, for instance, would be able to aser a dover she'ena shelo. So today we'd like to look into this a little better, and we got up to the Gemara of Tashma, we're six lines down here in the seventh line, Tashma. Here we're talking about the question of damages. And, well, damages, I mean, obviously all damages are going to be in terms of damaging somebody else's thing, right? But the question is, suppose the damage that you're causing is an invisible damage. And then we get into a major difference about whether it's actually something that you did a maisa to. Because imagine a case like this. Somebody assers a friend's thing. He takes his wine and he pours his wine out for Avodah Zarah. So now the question is, would he be chayev on damages? I mean, there's nothing noticeably different about that wine. Now we do have things that are not noticeably different, but they are caused by direct physical changes in the thing. Such as, let's say, you mix truma into chulin. Well, that's going to lower the market value of that chulin because now you can only sell it to kohanim. And theoretically, I mean, these are physical things that you could trace the differences of. But how about if somebody owned truma and you were metame the truma? Well, so far, we haven't developed a truma geiger. And that means a tuma geiger, I should say. And therefore, the tuma is not going to be showing up on your instruments. Is that something that you have to pay for? It's a hezek she'eino nikar. So this is its name, and Gavi is going to be writing it down with his ever-present magic wand. Hezek she'eino nikar, midiraisa is lav shmei hezek. However, the Rabbanan, in a case where somebody set out to hurt someone else's money, the Rabbanan made a takana that you have to pay, but that's only where you really intended to hurt the other person. So this is a knas. They didn't give that knas to people who didn't have bad intentions. And therefore, we start with our brisa in the presence of our newly returned Sir Richard with great simcha. Of course, Doc was sort of hoping you wouldn't make it back in time, at least not to close the perek. But nonetheless, Doc's got an amazingly grand heart, and he's happy to hand you these Berlinetter today, if that's what it takes to keep you there. Doc is smiling from ear to ear, very happy, Richie. So, you know, you guys can work it out.
Reported ahead.
Snuck in for the grand finale.
Okay. Great to have you back.
Nice to be back, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let's take a look at that, Bryce. Tashma. Somebody is mitame his friend's truma. Somebody is middameya, means he puts truma into his friend's chulin. Somebody is menaseh his friend's wine out to Avodah Zarah. Now that's the key to our discussion, because we want to know whether you could actually, that's the argument we've been having here, can you be menaseh somebody else's things if you don't need to actually pick it up and be kina it, begin eva and stuff like that? You just run mikashkesh, your hand bifnim. So what would be the din over there? So the Braita tells us the standard halacha of exactly the dinim of hezek she'eino nikar. In such cases where a person creates a hezek she'eino nikar, it depends on whether he would be given that knas, and that depends on whether he meant to do it. So if it was b'shogeg, we don't give him a knas and he's patur. But if he deliberately sets out to damage his friend, so the chachamim gave a knas. But the question is, how do we explain the one case of the nesach? Because if you cannot asur somebody else's things by performing avodah zarah with them, then what is the case? He didn't do any damage. I mean, he might have been chayav himself, misa, for going ahead and doing avodah zarah, but he couldn't have asur somebody else's things. At least not according to the shitas that we had of the Amoraim yesterday. Rav Nachman and Rav Amram and Rav Yitzchak, they all said that there's no way to answer somebody else's thing. Well, how the heck do they explain a Mishnah or a Braita? This is actually a Mishnah in Gittin. How would they actually explain this case? Mishnah takes for granted that you can definitely turn somebody else's wine into Yayin Nesach. So, answers the Gemara, well, of course you could, in the event that the person that did it is actually not a Yisrael that you would consider to be a Yisrael who is kosher. But if you have somebody that is actually known himself to be an Ovid Avodah Zarah, or if he's doing it to his own thing, so maybe it's talking about over here, where he owns
corn, they're growing corn.
Somebody talking on
purpose. Oh, new for this. Sorry.
I don't know. I can't see who's unmuted. But so what we're talking about would be a case where Isle Shutafut Begava. So the simple answer would be where he has his partial ownership. So everybody's muddy. You can ask your own thing that we saw yesterday. And we were talking about even the smallest amount that you would own. Well, actually, it turns out that the question of whether Adam Eiser Dovash Enoshalo in this fashion is a machlokas tanoim, at least seems to be, getanoim. Oveit kochavim shenisei hienosha Yisrael shalo bifnei avodat kochavim. Let's say there's no actual icon that's present, but a guy walks in and he pours out a Jew's wine in front of an imaginary avodah zarah. He has in mind that he is doing this act of libation for the great Lord Scroogey Bopper again, always seems to come along with him. And I don't know how he's gotten through the whole shas already, this ridiculous Scroogey Bopper, but there he is. And this guy imagines him to be there and pours out the wine. And it says over here, even though it's all in his imagination, there's no icon present, he still assers that wine even behana'ah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betirav, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, they both say no. It has no impact on the wine for two very important reasons. Number one, Echa. She'eman askin yayin ela b'fnei avodat kochavim. First of all, this is not even a valid case of libations, because you can't just conjure up some god out of nowhere if there's no icon present. I mean, the whole idea of the icon is its physical presence. So that's not even called a menasech. That's one reason. But let's even say that it would be, okay? Even if it would have been a real libation. Here's the critical point. The guy can say, look, you cannot take my wine without my permission and use it for some sort of ceremony that is going to asur it. Well, get out of here. You don't have any connection to this wine, and therefore you can't have any impact on this wine. So apparently, these two Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betirah and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, I mean, this is serious weaponry here. And they say, you cannot asur someone else's wine against his will. So, I mean, Rav Huna has got to at least admit that when he said that if I shech somebody else's, remember that last little bit of Shechita, I would be able to create an Isser of Zivchei Metim on it. Clearly, that's not true according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Betirah and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. They say, no, you cannot. Okay, so that Rav Huna is going to have to admit, this is clearly a machlokas tanoim. Do our three Amoraim, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, and Rav Yitzchak, who both claimed yesterday that you cannot do that, would they have to agree that it's a machlokas tanoim because the Mishnah is saying that you can pour out the wine, and we have the sheet of Rav Yehuda ben Betirah and Rav Yehuda ben Bava, who says there's no way to ask the wine. Would they have to admit that their words are also only said according to one shita? No, because you know what they could say? They could say, Afilam adi omar adam oser davar shem ishalo. They could say, look, we didn't talk about every single case, did we? Don't back us up into a corner. Even though the Tanakhama here in this Brisa says you could pour out an aser of one person's behema by doing it, or wine by doing an act of avodah zarah to it. But what we're talking about over here is, as it says, Oved Kochavim. Doesn't say anything about a Jew. It says an Oved Kochavim who did that. So that would mean Hani Mile Kuti. This is only if, in fact, it were an Oved Kochavim. Remember, they often change the word Oved Kochavim in the Gemara to Kuti for censor purposes. But all we talked about was the case when a Yisrael is doing that, and that raises a different issue. And that is, do you really believe that a Jew is pouring out wine for Avodah Zarah? I mean, come off it, you know. The guy's probably trying to drive, you know, here's the sheikh, and he sees this guy, and he hates his guts. He said, all right, I shechted your animal for Avodah Zarah. But, I mean, did he really? Was he going to be over at Israel of Avodah Zarah? He's probably just trying to play around with him. And he has no intention whatsoever of actually worshiping Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it would not answer the other person's thing. You didn't take that into consideration, did you now? So that's a further issue. And you can't prove that we ever said anything that would be against any of these shittas, because everybody would be made at if you're just fooling around. So then for sure, it would be, we're saying for sure it would be nothing, because he didn't really mean it. And now, let's take a look at our Mishnah and see whether is that really sustainable. Is it possible to say, in light of our Mishnah, that if a guy says he's shechting something for Avodah Zarah, that he's doing it only to get the other person nervous? I mean, our Mishnah says, beferish, if you have two people, shnayim ochazim b'sakin, and they're shechting, one of them is shechting for the list of issues that we had talked about, the mountains and the hills and the seas and so on and so forth. But the other was shechting normally. The other one had in mind a kosher shechita. It says beferish here that the shechita is pasul. But according to what these Amoraim have just said, the Mishnah should have just said, ha, 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 we don't believe it for a moment, and therefore nothing is pasul. So how in the world could Reb Nachman, Reb Amram, Reb Yitzchak possibly claim that everybody would be made that if it's Yisrael that's doing this, then it's ridiculous, it's nothing to think about, and it is certainly not intended to be serious? Well, as I mentioned earlier, there are cases where the Jew would be the same as the Akum. And that would be in a case where he's a Yisrael Mumer. So this guy, you know, he works for Ynet, for Haaretz. I mean, why would we not think that he actually wants to worship Avodah Zarah? He says that he's doing it, and that's probably what he means. Couldn't be as chomor as his Lashon Hara, Yom HaValayla. Now, therefore, in this case, we would take it seriously. Well, now let's take a look at the Mishnah and Gittin. We just learned the Mishnah and Gittin. So let's see how it would work into the Mishnah and Gittin. The Mishnah and Gittin says, Hamitameh, Hamidameh, Haminaseh. If he does it b'shogeg, he's potter, and if he did it b'mezid, he's chayev. But over here we're talking about a Jew who went ahead and supposedly was menaseh another Jew's wine, and we're saying if he did it on purpose, so then he should pay him for the damages that he did by answering it ba'ana. But I thought, according to all of Yoman de Omrim, he never really meant it, since he's clearly not an Oved Gavadus Kochovim. Why would we take him seriously? Well, we'll have to say it's the same case. It's talking about, again, someone who is known to be a Mumer, and therefore could very easily mean that he's going to be working on Avodah Zarah. What about in cases where they said to him, don't do that, you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah? I mean, so what would you say? I mean, if the guy says, yes, I know, and I want to do it anyway, is that part of the ruse? Are we going to kill this guy? Is it considered to be a real acceptance of Hatra'ah or not? Well, obviously, Ravashi said, look, if the guy says, remember, in order to accept a hatra'ah, you have to say, not just, I know. Okay, maybe if you just had to say, I know, you could say, all right, that's just part of his little game. But the guy has to say, I'm doing it purposely so that you should kill me. You know? So he has to be matir atzmo lemita. Now, how obviously the guy's matir atzmo lemita. In the chamumar gadomize. What bigger raya could there be that the person is a complete mummer to everything if he's ready to sacrifice his life, he says, in order to do avodah zara? So clearly that would be a mummer by definition. Now, the question would be, once we know that these kind of things can happen in the event that you actually would shecht into the sea for the great Gada de Yama, so for the god of the sea, or any of those cases, we said all of those dinim would actually be real avodah zarah. And now the question is,
who will introduce the Mishnah?
Oh gosh, you're right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, we do have Sir Richard, who just came back and who might want to introduce the Mishnah as part of his gifts.
And then, at the roundabout, continue straight.
No, no, don't. Don't continue straight. You're going to end up in the Galil, for heaven's sakes.
Rabbi, I'm in Beit Shemesh now. How can I be end up in Galil? I'll end up in...
You're taking the wrong turn. Go ahead, sweetheart. Well, I got to tell you, even Doc missed that. You know, he doesn't want to let on, but he's got that little smile on his face. We know. So we're very happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be back, yeah.
Ein shochatin. So because this is so, it's very important to avoid giving the impression, even, that what you're doing might be an act of avodah zarah. These are the kind of things that these weirdos do. So because of that, we don't let you do a type of shechita that looks like one of the minhagim of these weirdos. So, ein shochatin lo l'toch yamim v'lo l'toch naharot. You're not allowed to do a shechita.
Continue straight.
Richard!
Richie's taking us for a ride.
Dude. Oh man. Ein shochatin lo l'toch yamim, so you cannot shecht dripping that blood into the sea or into the fast flowing river and into any type of kli, because if you're shecht with the dam going into a container of some sort, it looks like you want to actually pour it out onto some kind of mizbeah. But you are allowed to shecht shochetu l'toch ugasho mayim. You could actually have a hole with water, a pit, a pool of water dug out. And you could also shecht, if you're on a boat, you could put things down on the floor of the boat to catch the blood and to aim it into the sea. That would be okay. Bisvina agabe kelim. But you can't dig a hole, a guma, and have it go into the hole under any circumstance, kol ika, which we immediately contradict by saying, and the Gemara, of course, will ask this, if I can't do that under any circumstances, how does the next line in the Mishnah read, but you could make a pit in your own house in order to collect the dam in that pit? You just, what? You just said you can't. So the Gemara, of course, will discuss this. Ubeshuk, but this is only in your own place, not outdoors. You couldn't do this in the shuk. In doing it in the shuk, you would be yechake et hatzedukim. Now, yechake has become a modern Hebrew word, which means to imitate, to do the same way. But its mokar is actually here in the Mishnah. Yechake comes from the word chok. So as to not to imitate the way that the tzedukim would act, which then has now expanded its meaning into any type of chikui, which is doing the same type of inexplicable behavior. It's a chok of the way they do things. So what they used to do would actually be in with C to collect the blood in that fashion. So let's take a look at the opening of the mission. You can't shecht into the yam, but you can shecht into this round pool of water. What's the difference? I mean, I understand that the reason that we're nervous over here is obviously not because you did something wrong, but it's because it looks weird. So, okay, so if somebody's going to shecht into the yam, people do that. And we said before that in the event that somebody would shecht to the god of the sea or to the Sara of the yam, so this was the guardian angel of the sea, whatever, you know, so were worried that people shouldn't even think such ridiculous things. But I mean, the Toch Ugasho Mayim Nami, I mean, most of the people you know are so narcissistic that they would probably be shechting to their own beautiful images, don't you think? So Amri the Bavua Kashachi, he was probably shechting to himself, actually. It doesn't quite mean that, but it's pretty close. So as the Rambam explains, that remember the gods of the Chomer and the gods of the Tzura. So he was in love with form, you know, the god of form. So he was shechting to his own form in the sea. That's how the Rambam explains it. You never know how narcissistic you can get, though, right? So maybe he was shechting to his own reflection. Well, my Rava, you're right. We would not allow you to shecht to a reflection. And it would have to be talking about that the water is dirty or muddy water, and it's bachurim shanu, and it's too muddy for you to be able to actually see your reflection in. Okay, now we have that weird contradiction in the Mishnah. First it said, no way, Jose, never shecht into a guma, but you can shecht into a guma. What? So first you say, ein shechtin leguma kol ikar, but avalosim guma bebeito, so that the dam should be flowing into the guma. How do you explain that? Didn't you just say, ein shechtin leguma klal? What does that mean, klal? Rabbi, let's first make it clear. The nature of the guma that we're talking about in the Reisha of the Mishnah is specifically talking about the type of avoda that used to be done for avodah zarah out in the street. And it was not done indoors. So therefore, there's two completely different issues over here. The Reisha beguma shebashuk, under no circumstances would you ever be able to make a guma, even if you were shechting slightly out of the guma and letting it flow into the guma. You can't do that if you're outdoors in the shuk. Omer le Rava, that can't be true, I'm sorry. Because read the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, b'shuk lo yasekein, okay? So it can't be that we were talking about the shuk before, and then we say, b'shuk lo yasekein, if we're just introducing the shuk now, so then that means that the Reisha was not referring to something done in the shuk. So that's not the explanation. I'll tell you what the meaning is like this. Elamah Rava, the Mishnah is definitely saying, there's no way to shech directly into a hole that you made for the blood. That's under any and all circumstances, even in the house. Now, what do you do if you do nonetheless have to keep things clean? You want to go ahead and shech in your own chutzah. You don't want your chutzah to be a bloody, stinking mess. So what do? Harotzele naker chatziro. Ketzer huoset. Now, here, what we're talking about is something else. You can make a place where there's a hole in the ground, and ultimately the blood will trickle down and disappear down into that hole and not leave a bloody mess in your yard. Yes, you can do that, but you can't shecht into it. So you could have things on a slight incline so that wherever it is that you're shechting, the blood ultimately is going to dribble into the hole. That you can do. You could be, osimokum chutz laguma, leguma veshochet, and then the dam will gradually shotate viored leguma. But even that, that's what the Mishnah is adding afterwards. Even that, if it's in the shuk, since lemaisa, you don't have a very great interest in making sure that the shuk is not a mess, lo yasekin, shelo yechakeh etatzedukim, because there, it certainly, people are going to suspect you're being one of these weirdos. They don't think that you're a person who's running around and putting up signs saying, Anachnu Oavim Yerushalayim Nikiya. No. And therefore, the reason that you did it is because you're a weirdo. That's what we think. Tanika Vasita Rava, and the truth is, it actually spells this out in a bright, exactly what Rava said. Hayama Alech Bisfina. A guy is on a boat. There's no place on the boat to shecht. He's not allowed to shecht into the yam. What the heck is he going to do? I mean, he's shecht on the boat. So what should he do? He can't hold his hand over the sea because he's not allowed to shecht into the sea. Well, what he can do is he can stick his hand outside of the deck of the boat, and he can be shoche, and you can let the blood trickle down the side of the boat into the yam. That's not called shechting on the yam. So the dam shotet v'yoreda al dofnei ha'sefina. But ein l'shochet l'guma kol ikar. Exactly the words that Rav added, essentially understood as the meaning of the Mishnah. You want to keep things clean. What did you do? You make an area where the blood is going to, on a slight incline, where it's going to shecht into the, ultimately come into the guma. V'dam shoket v'yorei b'guma. And even that, do not do in the shuk, mishum shenemar, uvechukoteyem. Again, we see the mocker of that word, shlo yechake. Bechukoteyem lo teleich. It's always wonderful to know the real roots of the words that you use and throw around without recognizing that every time you tell your kids not to imitate Mickey Mouse, what you're really telling them is, bechukoteyem lo teleich. So it's good to remember, if a guy did this, and he's outdoors, and he shucks into a hole, you got to take a double check of this guy. Look at his tzitzis, make sure that they're kosher. You got to make sure this guy is not an Ovid of a Zora. So this brings us up to our next Mishnah, and it looks like we may need to bring Doc in after all. No, we've still got Richie who's insisting that he...
I'm still awake, barely, but I'm still awake.
Look at that.
In 400 meters, turn left.
Richie, before I turn left in 400 meters, I zook the helic of Mishnah.
Thank you, Sir Richard. Now, we've been talking about shechting prices. This is really... a very, very sweet chiasmic structure here. We started talking about the shechita of Avodah Zarah for somebody was shechting for Avodah Zarah, and then we talked about how does that shechita for Avodah Zarah, b'chutz, how does that tie into the din of b'chashrim mi'avodah l'avodah and so on, and the arba avodas b'fnim. And then we started talking about shechita of Avodah Zarah, and now we're talking about shechita for a kosher korban, and you do the shechita b'chutz. Can you shech things and have in mind a korban? Is that the same thing as having in mind Avodah Zarah and doing like shechita chutz? Well, obviously, you didn't really make a kaddish, but the same way that we just assert a situation where somebody should not be suspected of shechting something for the Sarah de Yama or for any of the, by the way, the Tzedukim, of course, you know, actually it always said Minim, and the Minim were the Christians. So because of that, they changed the Minim back to Tzedukim when they were publishing in Christian countries in order to avoid censors knocking out pieces of the Mishnah. So here the question is, if you're shochet, a regular chulin animal in a regular place, and you say, I want to shech this animal to as an ola, or as a shlami, l'shem zvachim. Or, now it's going to turn out that the name of the carbon is important. That's why we're going to list them. So you're shechting something for a carbon that you could actually be bringing, if you'd wanted to bring a carbon like that. So you shecht it for an ola, for a shlami, or for an Ashem Toloi. Now we're going to ask in the Gemara, Ashem Toloi. You can't bring an Ashem Toloi. And remember our old answer. It's going according to the sheet of Richie, which is that since you feel guilty all the time, you're always able to bring an Ashem Toloi. So here too, he came back just in time in order to tell us again the sheet of Reb Eliezer that he holds of, and that backs up those who feel guilty. L'shem Pesach, we're going to ask that also. How can you be bringing a Pesach? But okay, we'll talk about that. L'shem Toda, yeah. Shechitat Psula, actually, even though obviously you didn't really do anything wrong here because you couldn't have made it to an Oila by saying, I'm shechting it for an Oila. This is a Takana Derabanan. We're afraid that an onlooker who's pretty stupid will think that that statement actually makes it into an Oila. Or actually makes it into a Pesach, and that therefore you shechted b'chutz. So because of that, they answered it as if it was shechita chutz. Rabbi Shimon says, come on. How stupid are people, after all? And Rabbi Shimon is Machshir. Now, remember, there's another reason it's so important not for Rabbi Shimon to be Machshir. Rabbi Shimon was the Shita that always pointed out the concept of Shelo Hitnadev Kiderech HaMitnadvim. And since this is not the correct way to be, actually, be Magdir something, we're not Cheshesh L'Shitato. This wouldn't be something that could be confused with an actual Kedusha. How about here too? We have the same discussion we had about the Shechita for Yamim and Naharis. How about if two people were holding the knife? One of them has in mind the Shecht for the Oila, the Shlomim, and the other one has in mind a regular Shechita, the Shein Dover Kosher, also Shechita Topsula. So the Kavana of one of them may still give someone who sees it the wrong idea, and he'll think that this is Shute Chutz. But what about if you shecht it for a chatas? Well, you can't make something a chatas unless you actually were chayev a chatas. So how would anybody think that you're making something a chatas? Now, if you want to know the difference between human beings at the time of Rashi and human beings today, so as Rashi points out, if the guy really would have owed a chatas, you would know about it. How would I know about it? Well, I mean, you know, let's say he accidentally slept with the wrong woman, you know, it turned out she was an erva. He's going to tell everybody because he wants a kapara. So, of course, he's not going to hide the fact that he owns a chatas. He's going to publicize the fact that he owned a chatas. So, how would you think he would really be bringing a chatas that nobody heard? Everybody would be talking about this juicy scandal.
Rabbi, doesn't it say that if a person doesn't assert klapei shmaya, he should not talk about it? Ashrei kisui hashem.
Yes, it does. But people are tempted for kaparas to be over on that. That's what Rashi says. What a different world, huh? Anyway, so in such a case, you know that there's no way he could be making a chatas, or if he says it's for an asham vadai. So an asham tolui, we could say, yes, he's feeling guilty, but an asham vadai would have to be for bringing an asham gizela, or an asham meila, or an asham shivcha harufa. We would have heard about that if he had done that, wouldn't we? I mean, he certainly would have publicized it or would get around, and therefore, we don't have any chashash that he actually is shechting for that purpose, because we know he can't just create that out of a whole cloth. He certainly can't make something into a bachar unless it is a bachar. So if he sexed this with shame bachar, there's such thing as a shame bachar. You can't be making a bachar. This is hereby a bachar. That's ridiculous. Or l'shem maisa. You can't do that either. L'shem tmura. He can't be making it a tmura unless he has, of course, that animal in his house, a carbon, and he's making this a tmura. But, I mean, then we know about that. So in all of these cases, there'd be no basis for us to make a takana that it should be to protect people from the wrong impression. There cannot be a wrong impression. And there's a limit to how stupid you could be to actually take this seriously. Zaklal. So basically, now obviously the Zaklal has got to be expanding this a little bit. We have to figure out how we're expanding it, which the Gemara will ask, Zakla, kol davar shenidar v'nidav, hashochet lishmo asur. So if you shecht something for the type of korban that you could actually at this moment be saying, I am bringing this kind of korban, and then we could suspect that maybe actually that's what's happening. So then hashochet lishmo would be asur. But if it's the type of thing that couldn't possibly be happening now, unless I would anyway have known about it, so she'eno nidar v'nidav, and therefore you can't just create it. It's not like a shlomim to say, this is here by a shlomim, to say this is here by a chatas. So of course she'eno nidar v'nidav, we don't have any reason to make such a takana, and therefore hashochet lishmo would be perfectly kosher. So let's start at the beginning. So we say Ashochet, Hashem Olah, and so on. And then you say Asham Tolui. But an Asham Tolui is not like an Olah. An Asham Tolui is like a Chatas. Unless you were in a situation where you might have eaten a piece of chalev, you were eating a piece of fat, so you didn't know. Ga'ed tells you, listen, there were two pieces here. One of them was kosher, one of them was chayev karas. You know which one? Oh, my God, no, I don't know which one. Oh, then you would be chayev an ashram tolui. But you can't just say, I'm making something an ashram tolui. So how would anybody think to take you seriously and that this was an act of shechting a real ashram tolui? Amrav Yochanan, Hamani Richi. I mean, Hamani Rebbe Eliezerhi. This is going according to Rebbe Lazar. And should say Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, I don't make a mistake. Omar Misnadev Adam, Asham Taloi Bechol Yom. He says, since people always, as Rashi points out, the very fact that you're so guilty feeling is an indication you've got what to be guilty about. And that's just as bad as having an aide come along and say, there was something wrong. Well, you were always thinking there was something wrong. And so, Mimela, you can always bring an Asham Taloi if you want, every day. But what about the Korban Pesach? I mean, a Korban Pesach is only brought at Pesach. How could we take it seriously? Isn't it Zimna Kavili? It's got a particular time in which it's a Korban Pesach. How could a guy proclaim that this is a Korban Pesach in the middle of the summer? That doesn't make sense. Om Rabbi Oshaya, why not? You could be mafish a Korban Pesach any time during the year. So maybe you were mafish a Korban Pesach, and then you shechted it, and a Pesach Shelo Bizmano is kosher as a Shlomim. And we said that the Shlomim, we would take you seriously. All of these cases, says Rabbi Adai, is only true where the animal appears to be the kind of animal that could actually be a karma. So it has to be a tmima. But, I mean, if this animal is clearly a Baal Mum, then everybody knows this is not really a carbon. It's not even kosher for a carbon. And therefore, if it's Baalei Mumin, then anybody who's looking at it is well aware that this is not to be taken seriously. Meida Yediya. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, not necessarily. Afilu Baalei Mumin Nami, Zinin de Rami Le Midia Muma Velo Yediya. Look, you can't be certain that people notice that it's a Baal Mum. I mean, it might be covered in the area that it has the mum, or it might be wearing a long blanket that covers the mum on its leg, whatever. And therefore, they made this as part of the same takana drabanan because of cases where it would not be so noticeable. Okay, so now let's take a look at the cases where we do not have a problem. So we started off with talking about, somebody says, I'm shechting this as a korban chatas. It's kosher. Om Rabbi Yochanan, well, of course, it's only kosher in the event that we don't know that this guy was chayav a chatas, because there's no way to bring a chatas if you're not chayav a chatas, and it doesn't occur to a person looking at it that this guy must be chayav a chatas, and we didn't know, because as Rashi said, he would have actually get kapora, he would have actually would have let people know. So basically, we're going to rely on that. Why aren't we, by the way, really, I mean, in all seriousness, why aren't we chayshish for people like Rabbi Barnea, where Rabbi Barnea pointed out, we're not supposed to let people know. So maybe, why don't people think this guy is an intelligent guy and he just wants to make it a chatas, you know? And the answer is really quite simple, as the Achronim give. If the guy's ready to shout out, I'm bringing this for my chatas, he's the type of guy that does not feel that he has to say, Ashrek Sui Chata'a, right? Because he's saying, Mefarish, I'm bringing the chatas. So how would he be Makpir on Ksui Chata'a? So it's not that we're ignoring that issue, obviously. Anyway. So if he is mechuyev achatas, so then of course, em l'shum chatato, hu ozed. But wait a minute, you can't make a chatas by saying, this is a chatas. You'd have to be saying, this is for my chatas. I mean, otherwise, that wouldn't be chal, even if you did own a chatas. You couldn't say, this is a chatas. No, the Mishnah is talking about a case where when we say, L'shem Chatat, it means even l'shem chatati. That's the point. And what about l'shem tumura? So there too, says Rabbi Elazar, look, I mean, l'shem tumura is not impossible. It's just talking about a normal case. So the Mishnah is talking about lo shanu, ela she'en lo zevach betor beito. It's talking about where he doesn't have, let's say, shlomim in his house that he would want to be making a tumura on. Aval yesh lo zevach betor beito. Maybe he is currently making it a tumura by saying, I'm shekling this l'shem tumura. Why not? Imam Uri Amirbe, maybe that's exactly what he's doing. And you'd have to be answering it. How? But he didn't say it correctly. He didn't say, I'm shechting this l'shem tmurat zivchi. I'm bringing it for the tmura, my animal. So it wouldn't be a tmura anyway. And again, Rabbi Abba says, no, it means, of course, what he meant to say is that in a case where the guy said l'shem tmurat zivchi, that then we would be choshesh. But even if he said that and he doesn't have a tmura, he doesn't have a zevach to make a tmura too, then we wouldn't be choshesh even if he said that lashon. Okay, and then you come along and you say this klal that doesn't seem to add anything. We already mentioned all the cases. I mean, it's not like a Mishnah that took one example of each type. The Mishnah went through everything. So zeh klal, what are you adding by telling me zeh klal, ashochet nidav nidav? So then it's possible. What is being added by that? I mean, this is a pretty inclusive list, isn't it? Well, no. The part about a nidav and nidav could include an olat nazir. So over there, the nazir has to bring, remember, a number of korbanas, and if he would have saying, I'm bringing this, let's say, for my oila, and he specifies an olat nazir. So we said that an oila is not kosher, but how about an olat nazir? Maybe an olat nazir would be kosher because people would think, ah, it's a joke. This guy ain't no nazir. So mao de tema, you would have thought that people would assume, no, it's for sure, it's just a joke. Alo nada. Not true. The zeh klal is coming to tell me that even if a guy claimed that he's shechting this behemoth chulin, he's shechting it in order to be the olas nazir, people will think, look, you know, you could be a nazir for shloshim yom, and it certainly is common for a person to make himself a nazir that he doesn't tell everybody he's a nazir. You know, I mean, where he's not going to be growing his hair long. By the end of the shloshim yom, he's going to be completed as nazirs. So I might have thought that maybe you would, the person who sees it, is going to be sure that he's not a nazir. Kamash malon, it's not true. Ema nadar betzina, it's very possible that this person would be choshed, you know, and maybe he really was a nazir and he never said anything about it. Well, what about the second part? What about the second part that says, zeh klal, that if it's not nidav v'nidav, so then you don't have to be choshed? What's that for? What does that add? So v'she'eno nidav v'nidav, what is that coming to include? Well, that's coming to include she'eno nidav v'nidav, and that is mutter, that's coming to include an ola of a yoledet. So it's also talking about an ola, but he said an olat yoledet. So if he said an olat yoledet, it's coming to tell me that since it's not nidav and nidav, because you'd have to actually give birth, and if she would have given birth, so then we know. So that which telling us that is actually mutter. Omar Rabbi Elazar, well, now wait a minute. I mean, this is only if the person is unmarried, you know. I mean, so then we understand immediately that's ridiculous. The guy doesn't even have a wife, you know. I mean, you know, what does he mean that he's bringing oil to your lettuce? But if he's married, so then we would have to worry. And I would think that maybe he's bringing it for his wife. So Emer L'shmahu Osin, obviously a person stomps this and all that you'll let it. He doesn't look like he just had a baby himself now, does he? So if the guy doesn't have a wife, so then, okay, it's in Mishnah saying there's no chashash. But the truth is, it would be like any other Ola if he did have a wife. But what do you mean? He didn't say for my wife's Ola. Why would I be worried? V'aloka amar l'shem Ola dishti. No, he did. Again, Rabbi Abba says the same thing. The Omer, he did say, L'shem olat ishti. Well, so then, and obviously, why in the world it would, Rebbe Lazar has to tell me that it would be usher. Why in the world would Rebbe Lazar have to tell me that? That's clear. I mean, Rebbe Lazar already told me the same idea before about the Temura. He said, the guy doesn't have a Temura, but if he does have a Temura, we'd have to worry. I mean, he's just repeating himself again. Now, this is a little bit strange, isn't it? That we're asking, why does Rebbe Lazar repeat himself? And now we're saying, Mao de Tema in Rebbe Lazar, when before we were giving the Mao de Temas were the explanation of the Mishnah. It's very weird. So let's first, before we get to Richie, let's first talk about the Girsa that we have, which Rashi says this really is very difficult to believe. So why does Rebbe Lazar have to teach us? Because I would have thought that everybody would have known if his wife had had a baby, so we shouldn't even have to be chayshesh, kamash balan, that people might think she had a miscarriage. Weird that we're now analyzing Rebbe Lazar, pretending Rebbe Lazar is the Mishnah, using the same Lashon. Whoa, says Rashi, I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. And Rashi, therefore, says this is obviously a wrong girsa. And what it ought to be saying is that the Gemara starts, Shaina nidar v'nidav. What's that coming for? That's coming to tell me, la tuye o la yoledet. And why do I need, actually, an extra klal, zeh klal? The tema o la yoledet, isn't it obvious? It's not obvious. Because I might have thought that it's actually osur. Because ma'o de tema, ema yolede yolid, maybe she actually did give birth. Nothing about a guy who doesn't have a wife and so on, all of that. Cut that out. That's crazy. So Ma'a de Tema, Ema Yeluda Yalit. Maybe she had a child, and including even a miscarriage, which would certainly be possible. And you should say that therefore people will think that she just didn't publicize it. Kamash malan de im ita de olid kala itle. And therefore, goof, it's coming on the Mishnah to tell me that the extra klal is there to say that kind of thing gets around. And in the event that she really owed a olas yoledes, that would have been something that, in fact, we would have known. And since everybody takes for granted that, it's ridiculous. So because of that, there was no gezeira that we should consider it to be something that might persuade someone that you do shute chutz. Hadralach ha-shochet. Sir Richard, we're going to give it to Doc if you don't pop up. Hadralach ha-shochet. You were talking about left turns and right turns, and what about the right turn? I'll try it one more time.
Right. We're going straight ahead.
Hadron alog ashochet.
To the infinity.
At the roundabout, Rabbi.
How can we talk about
right. Richie, you've got three calls already. Go.
Are we in a zook or have we...
He's not following. He doesn't know. We should give this to Doc.
Doc, I think you're taking over. This guy's a washout. Give it to us, Doc.
The Lee Nedder.
Okay, Rabbi Osai.